When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sci-Fi Talk Time on Podcast. It's the Simon Podcast.
And there it is. Sutton United of the GM Vauxhall Conference have put down First Division Coventry City, winners of the FA Cup themselves less than 2 years ago. And what a moment to enjoy for the fans of this Surrey side. They've had their moments before, but never one like this.
But the whistle goes now. Delight for Sutton United. Sutton United, the National League, are through to the last 16 of the FA Cup. No longer English football's perennial non-league club. A 123-year crescendo reaches a new peak for Sutton United, who are promoted to the Football League.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sutton United Talk Time on Podcast. It's another peek behind the curtain, or behind the amber curtain, and I'm delighted to say joining me today is our Director of Football, Terry Bullivant. Hiya Terry, how are you?
Morning, fine, thank you. You?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for giving me your time and slotting me into your schedule very early in the morning, but thank you very much. So this is just a very sort of quick chat to sort of find out a bit more about you. You've been in post for 18 months now, is it?
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, feet now nicely under the desk, or on the sidelines, or in the grandstands. Or
not the desk a lot, no.
So what is it you kind of knew about Sutton before you joined us? Obviously, you've been involved. Anyone who doesn't know you, sorry, I should start there, really. Anyone who doesn't know you've been involved in football for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I was looking, I got very excited when I saw you're at Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Because a friend of my dad's used to play at West Brom, similar-ish time. And when I looked up the dates, I was like, no, it wasn't. It was about 3 years in between. So after you'd left, He joined West Brom.
Tony Grealish. I know Tony really well. Yeah. Sorry, I knew Tony really well. I played my first ever South East Counties game for Fulham when I was 15 and a half, 16. And we played, and they had, the Leighton Orient side had Tony Grealish, who went on to play for West Brom, Brighton, and obviously Ireland for loads, World Cups. They had Glenn Roeder, who went on to play, he played for England. And in the same team, they also had Laurie Cunningham, who went out to play for Real Madrid and died in a car crash, as you know. And there's a statue of him. And then a fella called Bobby Fischer, who had a very good career. So, I do know Tony well. In fact, I had a couple of social events with him, and they were quite interesting.
Yeah. And that's how my dad knew him.
No, he's a good bloke. Good player.
I remember it was the season he'd just joined West Brom, actually. It was I was a kid, and we were in one of the pubs in Kilburn, and I knew him as Tony. That's it. And next thing, I was collecting the stickers, and there he was in my sticker pack. And I'm looking, going, why are you in my sticker pack? And everyone was cracking up laughing.
I think Tony's dad had a pub up there, didn't he, in Kilburn?
I think he did. And he offered to sign it for me, and I'm like, no, don't ruin my stickers. Go away. were you one of the naughty ones who used to also play for other clubs under different names as well?
No, I never done that. But I think Tone was over that way.
He and my dad played for Hendon because my dad used to play a lot of Gaelic football. And it was one of those stories he told me, and I was always like, that's a load of old rubbish. And then after he passed away, I was finding out other things that weren't as rubbish as I thought they were. And he was like, maybe they did play together at Hendon under assumed names. Because he wasn't supposed to play soccer. Obviously, the Gaelic football, you're not allowed to do the two.
Yeah.
So you were at Aston Villa for, I believe, it was a fair chunk of money at the time.
Yeah, I got sold from Fulham for $250,000. So I left Fulham, went up to Villa, and it never went great. You know, it was a great experience, but I was in the squad for the European Cup right the way through to the semi-final, and then something happened, which I won't go into, and so I wasn't actually in the final on the bench, which was a shame, you know. Mm. But they was a very, very good side, and the year they won the league, or Villa won the league, they had Mortimer, Bremner and Cowans, who I was basically the reserve for if ever any of them got an injury or suspension. Both all played 42 games. So I never had a lot of Donald there. It was a great experience, but I lost a couple of years of first team football, which you find that hard to get back, especially when you start playing again. You're a bit out of sync with just having played reserve games all the time.
Yeah.
But you know, they were fantastic players, and what they've achieved was amazing.
Yeah, because Gordon Cowan's played
too, is
about 107, I think.
Oh, mate, he would have been even better now. He was a quite top player. But I think he's the most underrated I've ever come across. He could do anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. So you're in different world to Little Sutton United. So how much did you kind of know about us prior to joining?
Well, loads, because I've always lived, from when I actually started playing, I've always lived in, apart from a couple of years up in Birmingham, one with Steve Bruce as a coach with Birmingham, and the 3 years I was playing for Villa, I only had 4 years, and I was always in this area. So I lived in Worcester Park, I've lived in Epsom, I've lived in Banstead. So I've known loads about the area, and I've known loads of players over the years. I played with Johnny Raines when he was at Fulham for a short while. Bless him, he was a great bloke, and I thought he was very unlucky not to get pro. In fact, they signed the wrong one in a lot of people's opinion, and the other lad found out that he'd been lying about his age, and he was a year older.
All right.
So instead of being 18, he was 19, or there was a misunderstanding. He was a good lad, actually, the other lad, but I thought John would have maybe definitely got a year at least, because I played in the reserves with him and he was excellent. And I know Tony very well and a lot of other Sutton players, you know.
Yeah. And there was a connection with Matt as well, wasn't there?
Yeah,
how you kind of came to the club.
Yeah, I met Matt at Aldershot, and we worked together there for two and a half years, and obviously we got on well. Always kept in touch, and then when he had a spell out of work, I was Millwall chief scout, so Matt come and helped me at Millwall and done a lot of scouting for me at Millwall, and we used to go to games together, and then so I always knew what was going on at Sutton, because he used to confide in me, to be honest. So I mean, that went no further, and so we've got quite a close bond.
Good. I'm so glad he had someone, because this first few months.
He was ringing me more than I was ringing him. Put it that way.
It has been said, it's no secret. I think if he was at many other clubs, not Sutton, that would have been an end of a journey. But with Sutton, Bruce isn't like that. He's like, no, that's our manager now, so get on with it.
Unbelievable. I mean, he actually, I know Ian Hazel very well. We worked together at Millwall, and I've known Ian a long time through watching games and et cetera, et cetera. And Bruce, everyone you speak to who's managed our club speaks well of Bruce, which is very, very hard when you've had to get rid of people, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, fair play to him. He gives everyone more than a crack of the whip, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, he's... He's a very, very good bloke. He almost told me off on one of the shows when I'd sort of said appointing Matt was a safe choice because he was obviously from the back room, and he was like, "Safe? No, it wasn't." So sorry, Bruce. I'm so sorry. So director of football is kind of a phrase that people of a similar age to me kind of still have that whole, like, what's going on? Because it was the 90s it kind of came in, and it seemed to be at the start a job for managers they didn't want to get rid of, but they didn't want them managing anymore. But it's evolved over the years. So what does it mean to us, to you? What's the director of football job?
Well, basically, you should be the bridge between the youth academy setup and the first team, and also the college program, which is basically what I am. Especially now, Marvin's gone his own way now, which is unfortunate. But I'm now basically helping out in that department, and I'm also scouting games for Matt. I very, very rarely. I don't think I only watched our first team 4 times last year. Might be 3 actually, including the cup final, obviously, because there's no sense in me sitting watching our players when I see them in training every single day. So I'm very rarely at our games. So I'm basically away. I've got a mate of mine who I've worked with for years, Laird Budge. He scouts for us up North London and does the work around there. And I've also got Tom Fry, who does a bit for us when he's not watching our first team, who scouts for the youth team. So we've got a little network there. But I've got lots of friends from bigger clubs who will tell me things, who like give me a heads up with someone who, I mean, I got one the other day about a 19-year-old centre half, and it's basically he's not quite what they think's good enough, so they let me know. So we're going that route, but it can be good, but it can also be disappointing. We were after 2 players who we thought we had in the summer, and both of them in the end went to other clubs, but we thought we were there, you know. I won't say who they were, but then you have to, you know, get on with it.
Yeah. So one of my sort of questions was, and you've hinted at the answer there, is whilst you're sort of out looking at players, how do you judge whether they'll fit into the way we play or better than what we've got?
Well, that's just, you know, experience. I think a lot of people could do it. If you go and, you know, you can get, I know exactly how we play because I'm in training every day. I see on Fridays I'm normally in the room when we're actually putting the strategy together for the next day. I know what we need, you know, and I know exactly what Matt needs because, as I say, being so close to him, I know exactly what he wants. I mean, yesterday, I'll give you an example, because there was a day off. Matt went to a non-league game. I went to one. Jason went to one. Laird went to one. But we all know what we're looking for. Andy Little went to watch our third goalkeeper playing for Haven. So it's a sort of we all know, you know, when we have a formula, you know, which I'm not going to go into, but most successful sides have a formula for what they want. Yeah. You know, I mean, it will give you a clue. You know, our 2 centre-halves, their first priority is to be able to head the ball. Now, that seems very, very, you know, basic, but it's true. We shut sides down so they play long, so we've got to have lads who can win that header. And then that's a priority, whereas other clubs might want one who heads it, one who wants to play a bit more. But, you know, that's one of the full parts of our formula. And you've got to try not to go off that because it's been successful, very successful. Yeah.
So scouting is one of those jobs that sounds wonderful. It sounds like a job that I would love to be paid to watch football. That's wonderful. But I couldn't fathom watching a team and watching someone in particular and how you kind of do it. So what's the kind of mindset? How's that process that you've got a shout that, and I'm making this completely up, so you've got let's make a fake team. Let's go, you've got Melchester Rovers from back in the day. So Melchester Rovers. And a mate tell you that there's a player there that you might fancy.
Yeah.
So you trek off up there.
Yeah.
On a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And so what's the kind of process there? How often do you look at them?
Oh no, you can normally know within. It's very rare that you go and watch somebody who's not good enough and change your mind, you know. But there's some 50-50s, and then you go again. And then if he's good, you go again. But there are other occasions where it's a completely fool's errand. But you've also, hopefully, I'll cut that down a lot by ringing people up I know and saying, have you been to Rainsport Vale lately and seen so-and-so? And I have got some... And so sometimes what I would do, I would ask one of my scouts to go and watch before I go, if it's a lower, very low step, you know. But a lot of the time when you go and watch a game... I took my little grandson, well, he's not little now, he's nine. I took my grandson to Malden Vale about 2 months ago. And after the game, I said, who were the best two players? And he told me, and I agreed. you're not going to really, you know, if you go to a game, you're not going to come away saying to me that you thought someone was absolutely brilliant. And I say, no, I thought he was absolute rubbish. And that's any walk of football, because the football now, people have got opinions which they're more than entitled to, because the amount of press, the amount of internet, the amount of what we watch on the telly, the experts explaining things, people are far more knowledgeable than they used to be when I was playing, back when I was playing in the day. Really, but then the argument is whether or not you might think he is good enough to come in and push John Barden at right back or Kizzy at right back. And I might go, no, I don't think he's quite got that. So it's more like that, really, because outstanding players are outstanding anyway, especially when you go and watch kids play as well.
Yeah. So I don't know whether you were just saying the teams because they're quite low and you've gone already, but how sort of far down the pyramid do you go to look at players?
Far as you like. It doesn't matter. If you've got somebody who... The low-down ones sometimes can be the best ones because no one else has seen them, you hope.
Yeah.
You know, but anywhere that is anyone, basically, you go and look.
So was Toppe on our list? Because was it that he...
He came in on a letter.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was it was a phone call, not a letter. That's me showing my age. And so Matt said to me, look, the lad who's in training, he looks okay. We had a practice match behind closed doors. Not that we got a door to close. It's a lovely big training ground there. You can get in. It's beautiful. And he looked very, very lively and energetic in the game. And he gave Louis John a little bit of trouble and Ben Goodliffe, who was at the time fit. And so we said, oh, you know, better have a little closer look at this. So we lent him to Chesham. Mm-hmm. And I went, Matt, we had a first team game that day, a friendly. So I drove down to Middlesex FA where they were playing and watched him play and come back and said to Matt, I think we'd better do something with him. So we give him a contract and we were going to lend him straight out to Chesham. But in fairness, we was a bit light up front and he took his chance. So so that's how that one went, you know.
And obviously you mentioned that the players there. So when you get someone in on trial, do the players give a chance for a bit of feedback? Because I was going to say that the famous story of Gary Neville when they played Ronaldo and he went straight to Alex Ferguson and went, yeah, we need to get him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, people, exactly, you don't need to be Einstein to dig that one out, do you? If the group accepts them, that's the new expression now, I mean team, if the team accepts them, you can tell. And I could tell that people were giving him the ball and he was accepted in the group, and that's a very big thing, you know.
So what's a normal week for you?
Well, this week, because I'm working with the academy, has been a little bit different because so Monday we'll have a meeting with all the academy people to tell us how every fortnight I've been doing this to find out how all the age groups have gone, you know, because now we're an academy, obviously, there's a lot more going on and we've got a lot more staff and it's quite a well-run system, to be honest. So then you'd have any minuses, any pluses, who's played well, is anyone looking at any of our players? Is there any discipline problems because they have to do the college work, etc., etc.? Yeah. And then Monday night we played Merstham in the Surrey Senior Cup. The lads played the under-18s, and Roscoe's side done very well. 1-3-0. We were really pleased. Great to see Bruce there, AB, you know, Kiddo, all our the directors there, Matt Gray there. So that gives all the boys a boost to show that there's an interest in the club, in which they're all with the youth set up, which there always is. Then Tuesday morning, I'd have gone training, and then Tuesday night, I went to a game. Wednesday, I went down to see Harry Martin, who does our college program. Sorry, that was Thursday. I went to see Harry in the college program. I went training Wednesday. And that's coming on well. And what we're trying to do there now is bridge it so that it's not just a college program where boys come in and basically it's another team. We've got to try and show an interest in that college program so that if you're good enough, you're then going to be brought over to the academy for a trial at least. And we've already done that with one boy, and I'll be doing it maybe with another two after the game. I watched them play Dartford last Thursday morning at South Park, which is a lovely facility as well. But it's very good, Harry. If they don't do their schoolwork, they're not allowed to play, and that's the best way to punish any kid, I think. It's no good stand, you know, if he can't play his football, he's going to be upset. So that was Thursday. Friday, there's no games this week. Normally I go to a game Friday night, but then what I do is I go down, because there's no game for me to watch, because there's a lot of under-23 football Friday night. So I went and watched the under-16s, 15s and 14s training in the evening. Saturday went to a game, and then Sunday I normally try to go and watch at least two of the age groups on a Sunday, just so as they see that there's someone as a figurehead for the board, for everybody. So that's me week. But it's not, it sounds quite a lot actually now I say it like that, but the truth of the matter is it's enjoyable. You know, I mean, who's not going to enjoy watching good 14 and 15s or 10-year-old boys play?
Yeah, so it's one of those things that when it's not, it's like, oh, this is busy, it's cold, it's miserable. But as soon as you don't do it for a day or two, you're like, come on, let's get out there. Yeah. And then the missus behind going, when are you going out?
Yeah. We've also got, you know, Johnny's an analyst. He's our analyst as well. And what he, you know, so when Matt's out training, sometimes, you know, we couldn't, like, we had a tip off about a player the other day who plays in the Conference South, and we go on our Y Scout and we look the player up and we watch him, and then we think, oh, is he worth going to see, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. So that can take a lot of the work out of it now, because we're so fortunate now in the fact that we can now watch people on computers, as you can YouTube players, can't you, you know, and get a rough gist, but ours is a much better system. So that cuts a lot of it down. It's a lot different to what it used to be. I mean, when there was scouts before, they would literally put on a cap and hide behind a tree, and they wouldn't have a. But if a boy's scoring, say, 30 goals for Maidstone, it's not going to take long for people to know anyway. Because the internet, you know, I mean, all the lads, even the young lads, have got their own Instagrams, haven't they? When they score, you know, so it's a lot easier in that way.
What's it like the other way? Do you have much dealings the other way with people coming to look at our players?
Yeah, you do. You know, we've had, you know, we have scouts come and we welcome them, because if we don't welcome them, they won't welcome me. So it's got to be a give and take. We do have a lot of scouts. There's a big system. We got a good link with Chelsea at youth level. They've been really good to us, really good, invited us to watch trial games when they're letting lads go. So that's a great link. Sometimes Stansy or Anna will say to me, oh, there's 20 scouts coming. But I know there's 20 scouts coming because there's no other game in London that night. It's not that they're all going to buy our player. And sometimes they send people lower down the chain. But it's when the big ones turn up, the chief scouts, then you know that they're really looking at one of your players.
Yeah.
You know.
And do they... Do you ever sort of tell each other who you're looking at, or
they might make a comment? Oh no, you know, I've been down to your game. I mean, Ben Goodliffe was getting a lot of attention, as he should have, because I mean, he was outstanding, isn't he? Can't wait to get him back. He's making great progress, and we all want him back as quick as possible. But he's been incredibly disciplined with his while he's been injured, and if anyone can get back quicker, it'll be Ben. But you know, a lot of people would say, I was down your ground the other day. He done well, didn't he, Ben Goodliffe? So they do talk. Yeah.
Is that when you said, "Oh, he's terrible attitude"?
Horrible.
Terrible. Yeah, horrible. nasty fella.
Yeah, just like his dad.
Yeah. And then they look for his Instagram and they're like, "No, he's not. He's lovely."
And his dad's great as well. Hang on, this ain't right. Yeah. He's had 30 years in the game with a great reputation. But no, he's no. They're both great people.
No, they're all. I mean, I said this a couple of times, and I mean it as a huge compliment. It is like watching one of my old Sunday league teams, the camaraderie with them.
Yeah.
It was like sort of one in all in. And I'll be honest, when there was that little ruckus at the end of the Wimbledon match, I wasn't overly disappointed in anyone. I was watching, making sure everyone was getting involved. Right.
The old expression is one in all in, isn't it? That's what we were
Up
on.
Yeah. Exactly. It was like, right, who wasn't there? So... Not necessarily Sutton, because obviously I absolutely know there's things that we don't necessarily want to say. But who's the fish that you're just gutted got away from you? Who was the one that you were like, could have had that one, but didn't?
Oh, there's been loads. There's loads of them. I mean, you know, Millwall for 6 years, what you know as well. There's loads you could all go through. And I do actually make a point of not after timing, as my dad would have called it. You know, I mean, the amount of scouts I hear who turn around and say, yeah, he's playing, scoring goals, and I told my manager to take him, and I would never, ever do that. Because there's always a reason they've not come.
Yeah.
As I say, there's a few we've missed out on in the summer, what we'd like to have got, losing some of the players we lost was a blow, especially losing them quite late.
Yeah.
So whereas you might have replaced them with someone that then people have gone. But that's what it is, really.
And I was going to say another way of asking of a similar one, but I think that's a bit mean. So who's one that you've seen and thought, no, they're no good?
No, I wouldn't do that either.
They're no good. Definitely, and you've gone, oh, my God.
No. I mean, a mate of mine was telling me that he went to Balham Rangers or Balham United in about step five, step six, and he watched Cavallio, who went to Fulham. And said I didn't fancy him, but I won't say who he is. But I thought, and he said it. I mean, he's a great bloke and all, and he makes you laugh all the time. And he's brave with it. A lot of people wouldn't have admitted that one, you know. But he said, no, I didn't fancy him. And now he's playing for Liverpool, and I think he's in the World Cup, isn't he? But But I'll tell you what is a problem. Excuse me, and it can be anybody, including you, if I asked you to go and watch a game for me. You can go and watch a team and catch him on an off night.
Yeah,
and then that night he's not performed, and you can also go there and be lucky, and he performs well and the team play well, and that can help you judge. Whereas if the team are playing shocking and he's not getting any of the ball, or what he is getting is around his neck, or you know, so you do need a bit of luck. So you do try and watch good recommendations twice, but most of the time you've watched the sides anyway. You know,
yeah, because I mean, we know watching our own team that there'll be one game that someone will be absolutely on fire and you're like, no one can touch them. Two or three games later, it's like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
It's the consistency. It's not, I mean, all right, I only really watch this level of football, but it's the consistency. It's when it's week in, week out, they're the ones that move up because anyone can be great on a day. I was about to say I could be great, but that's on a precise moment in time with a YouTube edit, I could look marvellous.
Let me know when you're playing next. I'll send Tom Fly down to have a look at you. Yeah.
No, you're all right.
Yeah.
I'm one of those that pay to watch and talk about it. So you've spotted a player. I know that we've got the Holy Trinity, the three of you sitting chat about it.
Of course, yeah.
Matt mentions it an awful lot. But what's that process? So you've seen Roy Race, and these younger people listening will be like, why do they keep mentioning Roy Race? Yeah. What the hell is that? Yeah. So you've seen Roy Race, and you're like, right, I fancy him.
Well, it depends what level he is. If he's at a higher level, straight away you can find out very easily who his agent is. And it's normal now that you go to the agent, whereas when I was managing myself or being whatever I was doing, you actually went to the manager of the opposite team. You know, I remember ringing Graham Taylor up when I was manager of Reading and asking, and I'd read in the paper that this particular player I wanted to get rid of, he was interested in him. So I was absolutely delighted. So on Monday morning, I thought, oh, great. But I kept thinking, he's not really Graham's type, the way they play a pressure, you know, a pressure game, didn't they, Watford under Graham Taylor. So I rang him on the Monday and I said, I just have, you know, while I've got you, I made up some stupid excuse. I went, are you interested in science? And he went, Terry, I can assure you, he's so far out of my reckoning, I wouldn't even think about it. I went, all right. And so I put the phone down. That's how you used to go straight to the manager, and they would come to you. And if they did want to buy a player, they would just come around and they'd say, how much do you want for Livoy Primus? How much do you want for Dougie Friedman? You know, people I've actually sold. But but now you go to the agent, and then you find out how long he's got left on his contract. And if it's the lower levels, you do go. If it's down the steps, well, then down the steps you would make, you know, you would go to the manager. To be fair as well, to let them know you're looking, you know, if he hasn't got a contract, you know, you can put a 7-day trial on him, but it's not, you know, I would try and do that as honourable as you can.
Yeah. Cool. And so what's the long term? I mean, we had the Meet the Managers a year ago now. I was just amazed because obviously being Sutton supporter for so long, it's kind of like we just plod along. And when Matt was saying we've got targets, two or three for almost every position.
Oh yeah.
How does that change as we go through? So we're kind of like each season. Have you got your shadow squad?
We've got obviously we've got a database of players that you know, and unfortunately, and basically you can have 20 at each position, but it's no good if 19 of them ain't good enough.
Yeah.
So we try and, you know, have three or four names that we're always on, then one might go and then one might turn up. Some, you know, another one might, we might find another. There's always players coming through the non-league especially. You'd like to think you've always got a couple of, you know, who you can go and get, but then you might not then be able to get them, or they might not want to come, or their wages might be too high. We went in for one player this year who we thought we were getting, I won't name him, and he was all set to come, and we'd been, Matt and me and Jason had seen him for three or four years over time, and the other team offered him 30% more in wages.
Right.
So that was at the last minute, though. He was actually talking to us, and we thought we were there, and then he went, look, I can't. He was really honest. He said, I've just been offered this. And he said, no, you can't afford that. So he went. So it can work like that.
Yeah. And I mean, at least that's honest, where he's saying, I know you can't do it. He's not saying, well, if you can match that or if you can come close, exactly. And you're like, exactly. How true is that? How true is that? It's
like, oh, right. And a lot of the rubbish as well when you have the agent saying, oh, yeah, well, he's got another couple of clubs. And you're thinking, oh, leave off, mate. If he has got another couple of clubs, he'll go there, wouldn't he? You know what I mean? Just don't be. Yeah.
I had that at a job interview, and it was like, well, we've got four other people who can do the job for five, and they want $5,000 less than you. So I was like, well, I wish you very good luck, and I just walked off. I was like,
exactly.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. If you've got people who can do the job as well as me with less money, why are we talking?
Oh, years and years ago, I was at Fulham, and a man rang me up, and I'm talking my first job as Fulham youth coach, so it's a long time ago. And a man rang me up and he said to me, hello, I'm wondering if you can give my son a trial. He's wanted by Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham, Man United, Liverpool, Everton. He named about six big clubs. I said, well, to be honest with you, mate, why are you coming to Fulham if you can go to all them clubs? And it gobsmacked him a bit. But, I mean, you know, it's you just can't. You just got to try and be as straight as you can.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the phrases I always used to love when I was doing the Sunday leagues. Oh, I've had trials at blah, 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 blah.
Hold on.
You're not very good then, are you?
No. No.
So on the trials, when we get people in, I mean, pre-season was brilliant, where we had lots and lots of players coming in trial, and it was a trialist in the friendlies, but then they're named on social media almost straight away. So how does that work? Do we invite people to come and have a look at them? Do they contact us? So like Luke, for example, how would that have come about? Was it just he wanted to come home and he just gave us a shout?
I'm not sure. That'd be just,
okay.
No, I can't remember, to be honest, on that one.
No,
leave that one out.
No, that's all right. But in general, is it that we invite people down for trials? Or
oh, yeah, you have to, you know, it's 99 out of 100 of people we invite in, especially people whose contracts are up at the end of the season. You know, and so, you know, we might get them in, but you want to get the nucleus in before you start having the trials, really, to be honest. A lot of it with the trialists is just maybe thinking someone might do better than you think what you've seen and might fit in with us. Sometimes you can have too many trialists, to be honest. Because, you know, but yeah. Matt and Jace are very strong on the numbers. They don't like to have lots. I've been at Cubs where they've had like 10 trialists and they're in there with the first team and there's 30 people training, and that's not good, you know. So you try and be very selective on who comes in for a trial.
Yeah, because you've got that's too many people trying to impress. Mm-hmm.
And a couple of them might bring the standard down as well, which could happen.
Yeah.
And then the first team players, like when I'm going back to Tope, he never brought the standard down at all, and so that's what I meant by being accepted. So if we're doing a sharp training session, it was never breaking down on him, never breaking down on other trialists we've had, you know. So that's your, you know, because I mean I've actually over the years, which hasn't been very pleasant, had to pull people out within 10 minutes. Yeah, I mean, I had a fellow at Barnet, the chairman of Barnet was great, Tony Griffiths. I got on great with him. I was manager. I was assistant to Gary Phillips, then Ray Clements, bless him, for years, and then I managed for a while there. And he told me that he's got a Polish international working in his mate's warehouse. And he brought him down, and the fella came in. Well, he was a bit on the chunky side, and he had a pair of boots on that I'm sure they must have been two sizes too small. He had a pair of his shorts. He was coming out the back of his shorts. And you know when you're a little bit overweight, your belly, there's a gap between your vest and your... he had that.
I know this.
Well, it lasted about 10 minutes because I came out because someone warmed him up and I come out and he in the end, had to go, you know, within 10 minutes. But the chairman was upset because he actually was once, at one point, was actually putting him in the squad. Because I actually said, yeah, honestly, he was so sure that this lad was going to be good that Tony was saying, well, we got 22 players. I went, no, we hope we got 21. And he, whatever the lad's name was, he said, oh, don't forget you've got him coming in next week. I said, Tony, don't hold your breath, mate. You know, let's see. Yeah.
So, like the famous George Weah's cousin.
He came actually, believe it or not, and I'm not topping you up here, but I was sitting indoors watching Match of the Day and I'd had a drink after the game and we were sitting indoors watching Match of the Day and Terry Gibson rang me and said, have you just seen who's come on for Southampton? And I went, not really, I think I fell asleep. So he went, well, and you couldn't wind back in them days, could you? Like, so I couldn't wind back. So I said, he went, George, the boy Weah. We had him in at Barnet and said no. We pulled him off at half time in a trial and then he turned up at Southampton, yeah. So we actually got done as well. But luckily we saw it and got rid of him. That was him.
I was reminded of that because I saw George Weah at the England match. Yeah. I remember your cousin.
Yeah, we all do, don't we?
Imagine being such a class superstar and being remembered for someone scamming, saying he's a cousin.
Exactly.
So what's the future hold? What's the sort of plans
Well, the first team is obviously keep going as we're going. I mean, no one could foresee the injury list that we had. I mean, I've never known anything like it. I mean, I've known injuries and I've known suspensions, obviously, and you've had games where there's four or five out. But when you've got the long-term things, the long-term, you know. But what is so disappointing is we've had all these injuries and yet we bring in, we brought in Sean, our new strength and conditioning coach. We brought in Ali, the new physio, although she's not been there long. We brought in Johnny Harris with a wealth of experience. So I knew his father, Alan. He was, you know, and Terry Venables' assistant at Barcelona. So we brought in three really good people. But none of it is down to anything that they can't put right, because the majority of our injuries, 80-90% are contact injuries. Well, you can't help contact. If you start saying we can't have contact, you're not going to win a game. So if you had seven hamstrings or we had nine groins, then you'd be looking at the pitches, you'd be looking at the training, you'd be looking at the work you've been doing. But the, I mean, Sean in particular, he's excellent, you know, and the lads are having him, working with him, and they're, you know, really back him. So it's been hard luck. You can't legislate for Knox, can you? You know, you can't legislate for Ben Goodliffe to twist as he, on that day, and then we don't see him for 6-8 months.
Yeah, no, I have to admit, there was mumblings when injuries were happening. It's like, what the hell is going on the training ground? But then when Matt listed them all out the other day, you're sitting there going, no, that was a match. No, that was a match. That was a match. That was a match. Oh, great, marvellous.
John Bard,
and all those years.
Know, John Bard, and I mean, that's so sad. I mean, he is such a good pro. I mean, he's an excellent pro. In fact, he's as good a pro as I've come across. And he's really great about the place. He's got a very dry sense of humour. So we missed him on the pitch, but we also missed him around the place. You know, so Ali Smith, who everyone knows is a talent, Harry Buterman, who's an absolute buzz around the place. He's. I mean, you can't help a hernia. I had one myself. You know, it doesn't just happen. A hernia, it's wear and tear. So you're right. You know, it's one of them things, and hopefully, we'll get everyone back. I'm sure we'll be fine, more than fine.
Well, the one I'm sticking to is for years everyone says luck evens itself out over the season. And in which case, we're going to be in for an absolutely spectacular second half of the season.
Better get your... you're going to get a few bets on the supporters. I hope they will anyway.
it is shocking. And it's not funny, but it's great to hear people like yourself. And I spoke to Bruce a little bit before the game. And it was like, I've never known it. And it's like, well, hang on, with people who like that talking, who've been around football for so long, saying I've never known it, you've got to maybe go, okay, maybe this is just terrible luck. And yet we had that magic pitch that was so bad for players, the 3G was so awful for players, and we never got injuries.
The standard now of them surfaces is so high. You know, we've actually got one on our training ground as well, you know, so we can use that when the pitches are wet. I mean, we've moved forward in a lot of, you know, the ground's moved forward, hasn't it? I mean, AB and the chairman and everyone down at the club has done, the boardroom's been done, the we've got offices now for match days where the players can chill. We've got a little mini gym there. You know, we've moved forward so far above all our lovely pitch. You know, we've got a new training ground. I mean, I used to go there years ago to watch Zola and Vialli train for Chelsea, and then I went there to watch QPR train and play reserve games there. So we're actually driving into a Premiership facility. You know, we can't have asked for more from the club they're backing. We've got a gymnasium now that is excellent. We've got a strength and conditioning coach on the back of that. You've got Ali's rooms with young Ben and Kat. You know, they've got their own separate medical rooms. I mean, the pitches are very, very good. The food now, you know, we've got a chef in there, so the players are getting well fed. It's moving on. It's moving on, and it's just got to keep going.
Yeah, no, I think AB keeps saying that we need a little bit of time just to catch up with the team. So the team's done a little bit better than we expected, so we're running to catch up.
And they are running, and they're really running. And it's the same with the academy, and it's the same with the grassroots. And basically, it's my job to make sure that everyone's on side with each other.
Excellent.
You know, you don't want anyone pulling the other way. If you want to pull the other way, you can go.
Yeah, and again, Sutton, I think, I don't have much dealings with other clubs, but I do find Sutton quite a funny little club, because a couple of times we've done the BBC thing where they've done a all about Sutton, and I've laughed with the presenter saying, I have to apologise, because all the fans are saying exactly the same thing over and over. It's almost, you could take one person out and replace them with someone else and the answers will be exactly the same, because everyone is on the same page. You've got all the way down, Bruce, all the way down, everyone is on the same page and we all know what's going on, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah. Do you know the biggest thing I've found living in the Sutton area? You've got, you know, a lot of people don't know who I am, which I quite like. And so I was standing in a pub the other night with a friend, just having a quick pint, and two Sutton supporters come in their scarves. And this was in Epsom, so they've travelled from Epsom. And we'd had that horrible loss to Farnborough. And when they were talking, I said to my mate, how good were they? They were still, well, look what's happened, you know. There was not an ounce of negativity. And and when I go to, you know, I go and do a bit down the David Lloyd, the people that talk to you, yeah, well, it's just one of them things that I've never known a support that's so on the page with it as well. I mean, I'm not saying obviously they want to win and they don't, and they're going to be disappointed when you don't. But I think they accept what Matt's done as absolute miracles. So there's got to be a blip, otherwise we're going to be in Europe in 4 years, aren't we? You know what I mean? Now, so, and I think people as well realise that when you get beat by Bradford, although we want to beat them and we expect to beat them and we go out to beat them, when they've got 15,000 season tickets, which I think it is, they should be better than us. But when we play them, we don't think they're going to be better than us, so don't think I'm taking it that way. And no one likes playing Sutton. It's a great thing. No one likes playing us. And that's how it's got to stay, no matter what level we go up to. You've got to be like that, hard to play against. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I think that's going to be the sound clip I'm going to put out for everyone.
Okay.
advertising the show, and it's a brilliant place to bring it to an end and let you get on with the day.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much, Terry. It's been lovely to talk to you.
Good luck. If I'm at a game, we'll have to meet up.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck with everything, especially now the extra work with the academy. I do like the fact that the schoolwork is still the number one priority, because I spoke to Marvin a few years ago about it, and he was like, yeah, if they don't do their studies, they're not coming. That's
it. Well, I'm afraid I weren't a very good example of that one, and I don't like being two-faced, but I weren't the best. But things change. But anyway, lovely to meet you.
Things do. Brilliant. You too. Take care. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye-bye.
And that's it for another show. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for Terry for his time. That was really, really interesting and nice look behind the scenes. Before you go, there is a very short survey that I'd like you to fill out. If you just click into the link in the show notes, it will really help me know who the listeners are, what platforms you listen to, and where to sort of focus all my efforts, my minimal efforts, but still their efforts. Take care and see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for taking the time to listen to Sutton United Talk Time on podcast, the Sutton Podcast. If you are new to the show, hello, and you are very welcome. Hope you enjoy what we do. It's a very simple format. We get a few people on to talk about the game that's just gone, and then we preview the next game coming up. We are available on most podcast platforms where you can listen, rate, and review. If you find that we're not on your preferred platform, please let me know and I'll sort that for you. If anyone would like to support the podcast, you can find out how with more information on the website, which is www.suttonpodcast.com, and there's a tab where you can find out how to be a guest as well. Please find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok with the username @SuttonPodcast. Every like, follow, and share is really appreciated. Hope you enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.